Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
Today we're starting a new series. Are you guys ready for the word of God? Okay. And we're starting a series called Joseph from Pit to Penthouse. How many of you love the story of Joseph? How many of you never heard about the story of Joseph? Thank you for your honesty. How many of you heard about Joseph but really don't remember? Is he the one that killed the Goliath? You're close. Nope. Joseph is the one who was sold by his brothers into slavery. So for the next 8 weeks, this is a long one. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about the life of Joseph, a man who had a dream, who became a slave, sold by his brothers, who experienced a lot of pain and suffering, who became a prince of Egypt, and who saved millions of lives. Millions of lives. Why are we going to study about a man like that? And why are we doing it for 8 weeks, Pastor? Well, because Bible dedicates 13 chapters of Genesis to this amazing young man called Joseph. And so we want to know everything about him and how he applies to our life. Are you ready for this series? Awesome. So who was Joseph? Who was this fascinating man? Well, he was born in 1800 BC, so about 4,000 years ago. He was born to parents named Jacob and Rachel. Jacob was an old man when Joseph was born. He was about 91 years old. Here's why, because Rachel could not have children for a very long time. She was barren. She could not have children, so Joseph was the son of the old parents, son of the old parents. The name Joseph means may God add or increase. May God add or increase. What were their parents thinking? We want more children. Probably his mom. His dad was like, we're good. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. Probably because Jacob was old, and I heard this, that older parents are better parents. What? Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, we had children when I was about, 25? And I felt like I'm too young to have children. I'll break them. I'll mess them up. Now with my... We had two children, then we didn't have children for a while, and then we had Hadessa, our youngest, who's now going to be 5 years old in just a few days here. But we had her, and I feel like I'm much more patient, gentle. I let her slide with a lot more things than I let my first two. My personality has been evened out at least a little bit. With my first two, I was all over the place, up and down. But Joseph was born, and he became his father's favorite son. Joseph was born into a family of God. God chose this family to be his representatives here on earth. Through this family, God wanted to bless all other families on this earth. Through this family, God planned to send his son, his only begotten son, named Jesus. Joseph was born into kind of a big deal family. They were wealthy. They had huge influence. They were known family. Joseph was born into the family with huge spiritual inheritance. Grande inheritance. Imagine God chose your family
among millions of other families to be his representatives on earth. That would kind of be a big deal. So Joseph was born into a big deal family. Did you know that God identifies himself through this family? When God appears to Moses in a burning bush, which is later on, 400 years later, Moses asks God, "God, who are you?" And God responds like this. He says, "I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Whoa. That's the kind of family Joseph was born into. Jacob, Joseph's father, was one of those. "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Jacob was his father. Isaac was his grandfather. And Abraham, the great man of faith, three major religions in the world, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, find their roots in Abraham, was his great grandfather. You can see he was born into kind of a big deal family. God identifies with his family. Did you know that 12 tribes or 12 states of Israel was named after Joseph's sons and his brothers? That's kind of a big deal. Jacob got a new name called Israel. Today we know that by his father, Joseph's father, the whole nation of Israel is named. Israel is the new name of Jacob, Joseph's father. You can see kind of a big deal. Big deal. With that kind of heritage, you would think that Joseph grew up in a perfect family. He just had the best childhood, right? You would think that. And some of you may be sitting here, "We're going to study about a man I can't relate to. We're going to study about a family that I just have nothing in common with. Pastor, how? I don't have a legacy like that. I don't have a family like that. In our family, we have drug addicts. We have thieves. We have alcoholics. In our family, we have broken marriages. We have mental illnesses. We have disabled people. We're not like this family. How are you going to talk to us for 8 weeks about this family that we can't relate to?" The truth is that Joseph was born. The truth is that Joseph was born into a very dysfunctional, broken, and messy family. I can almost guarantee you that Joseph's family, with all that inheritance and fame and glory and God choosing them, they were the most dysfunctional family that I could find in the Bible, other than David probably. Those compete for number one spot on the most dysfunctional family. Your family is not as dysfunctional as Joseph's family was. How can it be? Joseph was born into a very dysfunctional family. See, if you look at the Bible with a religious glasses, that's why people who come to church don't relate to the Bible, because they think the Bible is full of perfect people, perfect family, holy. They don't even walk on air. They slide backwards. They live on clouds. God is like doing things for them, but he doesn't do things for them. See, if you read the Bible from a false point of view, which is religion, you would think that all these godly families were perfect. But that's not true. And today you're going to look at the Bible totally different, because here's what religious people won't tell you about Joseph's family. Number one, his father was a deceiver. A liar. Jacob was deceiver, a liar, a conniver, manipulator from his childhood. He tricked his father, who's blind, and told him he was somebody else so he could steal his older brother's blessing. His father, who God identifies with, the name, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," right? Do you know that Jacob was polygamist? He had four wives. How about that? But I thought God is against having polygamy. Yes, God is. But the culture of that day, come on, somebody, was that everybody had four was like a small number. If you were rich like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you had 10 wives if you wanted to. That's what David did. He was a king. Not talking about Solomon. Don't even go there, Pastor. Don't even go there. See, we like Solomon, the wisest man. No, 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 no. 1,000 wives. That's not very... That's messed up. 1,000 wives. Some of you young people, you didn't learn this in kids' church. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to real world. Thank you for being here. Anthony will have, Pastor Anthony will have to explain it to you guys later if you have questions. He had four wives. Why? Did God was no, God was against it, but the culture was. And a lot of times we do what the culture, like we, a lot of things we do against the Bible today, but because culture says it's okay, we're like, well, it must be okay. No, it wasn't okay. Actually caused, four wife thing caused so much bitterness, jealousy, strife, and hatred in that family. It wasn't a good situation. Joseph's mother, Rachel, got pregnant again at her old age and gave birth to his brother named Benjamin, and she died at birth. So Joseph grew up with three, not one, three stepmamas. Imagine the story of Cinderella, gender reverse, with three mothers. Stepmothers who hated Joseph. Why did they hate Joseph? Because Joseph was born to Jacob's favorite wife. Remember, she was the only one he wanted to marry. But his father-in-law Laban tricked him when he got drunk at the wedding, and he ended up sleeping with his sister. Whoa! Talk about dysfunctional. And so these three women, Leah, Zilpha, and Bilha, those are weird names. Leah's cool, but Zilpha and Bilha. They hated, created rivalry. So in those days, the children would sleep in their mother's tent. So Joseph, Jacob would not sleep with all of four wives in one tent. They all had their own tents, and he just visited when they got him apples. It's in the Bible. Ooh, some of your religious spirits are going, don't talk about Joseph like that, Jacob like that. It's the truth. It's the truth. They're messed up. I'm telling you, they're more messed up than yours. Where did Joseph sleep then? His mother died when he was about 3 years old, giving birth to his blood brother, Benjamin. What did he sleep? Can I introduce to you an idea that you probably never heard before? He slept probably with his father in his tent. You can see why the other brothers were jealous of Joseph. Joseph had no mommy, so he had to sleep probably with his dad in his tent. So was Benjamin. So they were really close. Plus, Jacob was really old. His father was really old. So that's why it threatened the rest of them. Why is he sleeping in our father's tent? Our father's tent is the best. You know, he was, you know, the patriarch. He was the king of their tribe. And so there created a lot of jealousy, and the wives didn't help. Because they were all competing to be number one. That's the kind of family. Joseph had 10 stepbrothers and one stepsister named Dinah. His stepbrothers one day went to a party, and Dinah went with them. She was beautiful. They went to Shechem. They were living in the neighborhood of another small kingdom named Shechem. And a prince of Shechem saw Dinah and took her into his bedroom and tricked her and raped her. Never heard of that? That's the Bible. That's all there. For your life group assignment, I'm going to ask you to read Genesis so you can see what's going on there. And so next morning, Dinah goes to her brothers, the 10 brothers, and says, he raped me. So they grab weapons And remember, they're a powerful family, and they're going against another small kingdom. That's how powerful they are. But Shechem's prince goes to his father, the king, and says, hey, I'm in love with Dinah. Can I marry her? And father says, well, let me talk to Jacob. So he goes and talks to Jacob and says, my son made a mistake. He was wrong, but he wants to marry your daughter, Dinah. And so they make an agreement. But the brothers, the 10 brothers, go and say, well, they're uncircumcised. If you're young in this church today, just joined us, ask your parents later. They'll explain it to you, or Pastor Anthony. And they said, the only condition is if you all get circumcised, all your male, because we cannot allow our sister to marry an uncircumcised Shechemite. So the boy says, fine. The young prince says, fine. The dad says, fine. So they get all circumcised. And on the third day, when they're in pain, I feel uncomfortable just talking about that. When they're in pain, the 10 brothers grab weapons and with their other servants attack Shechem and kill everybody. You're like, that's not the story I heard about Jacob. I heard he was holy. That's not the story I heard about the 12 tribes of Israel. They were awesome. No, they were not. Joseph's one brother loved to visit prostitutes. Right? There was his oldest brother named Reuben slept with one of his father's wife. You think your family is bad? You think you got skeletons in your closet? See, religion hides. Religion kind of says, no, this is what you're supposed to be. But that's not the kind of families and the kind of people God worked with. And if God can work with a family like that, if God can use a family like that, He can use your family, dysfunctional, messy, messed up family. Listen, God is not done with your family yet. Here's the blessing that God pronounces over Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you and all the families. Notice how God is about your family. He's not just about you. He's about your family. He says, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Through you. And through your seed. And now we know who that is, Jesus Christ, because he came from the lineage of this messed up family. This family was messed up. The father unwisely favored Joseph by that way setting him up for hatred among his brothers. Jacob was a passive father. When things went wrong, when boundaries were broken, he was like, I don't want to deal with that. Are you that kind of parent, maybe? You set a boundary for your kids, 9 o'clock bedtime, and it's 11, and they're not going to sleep, but you're like, well, what can I do? That's a passive parent. That's what it means, passive parent. I could give you more about passive parent, but we don't have time. If you look at the Bible through non-religious glasses, Joseph's family was not the only one that was messed up in the Bible. Actually, listen to this. It will be hard to find a family in the Bible that we could call so-called normal. If you look at the Bible, it would be hard to find one normal family. There is, but it would be hard. Can I give a few more messed up families in the Bible? Because you're thinking, man, you come to church and you hide that you got problems. You don't join a life group because you got mess. And what if they find out? Well, this is not the kind of a church where you need to hide. We look at the Bible through non-religious glasses. And we realize that we all have messed up family. I have in my family drug addicts. I have people who've been in prison. I have people in my family who robbed convenience stores. I have people in my prison who've been in my family who've been in juvie. I have people with mental sicknesses in our family. We have people disabled in our family. We have all kinds of people in our family. You might look at me from the stage and look at me through religious eyes and think, Pastor, you have it all figured out. I don't. We're all broken because we're all sinners. Come on. But let me just give you a few more. Can I just give you a few more messed up families in the Bible? The first family, Adam and Eve. Blame, messed up family. Got themselves kicked out of the garden. The second, brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel. Amen. Sarah, because of her infertility, that's Abraham's wife, gave a servant Hagar to her husband. And then when that woman, Hagar, when that woman gave birth to a son, she started being so jealous and started oppressing Hagar because of that. Lot, a godly man, refused to leave sexually perverse Sodom and Gomorrah. His home, he had to be dragged out. And later, because his wife turned around and became a pillar of salt, his two daughters got him drunk and committed incest with him. Some of you are like, what? That's just Genesis, people. That's just Genesis. Have you ever read it? See, a lot of you are afraid to read the Bible because you think it's perfect. No, it's not. And the good news is that God loves working with imperfect people. Okay, so Lot, oh my goodness, his daughter. Isaac and Rebecca played favorites with her twin boys, creating the sibyl rivalry, one for the history. Okay, Uncle Laban deceives his nephew Jacob, that's the Jacob, Joseph's father, and smuggled Leah when Jacob was thinking he was marrying Rachel. Okay, Judah frequently visited prostitute. That's just in Genesis. Aaron, that's in Exodus, had two sons. Aaron was godless. Not him. He had godless children. God had to, you remember false fire? What is that called? Strange fire story. That's in the Bible. Gideon had a son, Abimelech, murdered 72 of his brothers to take away the kingdom. Samson, messed up. Samson, you done messed up, Samson. You done messed up. Eli's sons were worthless. They were priests like their father, and when people came for counsel and to bring sacrifice, they slept with the women while being married and their wives pregnant. Samuel's sons were greedy for money and were worthless. David's family, oh man, I wouldn't have time to talk how messed up David and his family were. And God calls David a man after his own heart. Solomon, 1,000 wives turned away from God. All of his children went away from God after he was done. God, why are you using these families? God, why are you using these families? Why does the Bible highlight sinful and dysfunctional families? And it's kind of silent on the functional and so-called normal families. Why? Why is God lighting it up, showing it to us? Because in reality, listen to me, there is no so-called normal families anywhere. Every family has skeletons in the closet. And if God were to look for a perfect family, he could not redeem the world. But God so loved the world that he overlooked messed up families, dysfunctional, messy, dirty, ugly, skeletons in the closet families, so he can redeem you and me, so he can save us, so he can bring the gospel to us, so he can send his son, Jesus, who could die for our mess. That's the love of God. That's us right there, and that's the love of God. Hallelujah. In reality, there is no perfect family. Your pastor's family is broken, us. Your other pastor's families are broken. We have suicides in our families. We have all kinds of things in our families. And God still loves us. I just can't believe it. Many years ago when I was a teenager, my younger brothers did something crazy. And one day, 20 cops surrounded our house searching for something. And they were 13, 14, and 15. I come from a messy family. You come from a messy family. When are you going to heal from hiding? You know, when you hide that you're messed up, you can't heal what's messed up. When you are hiding from the mess, you can't heal. Here's why life groups are so important, because this Wednesday, you can go over this message and talk about your family. And you know, I went to counseling to pastor's coaching, and pastor said, and I said something, and I said, I feel like I'm broken. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you need to talk to a counselor. You need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to a small group, and your healing will come through talking. And you know what I did? Last year, we had our small life group. I'm in a life group, too. And it's so good to open up to people and not act all holy and to know and to be known. Well, what a blessing. Many of your healing will come from a life group. And that's why I know right now you're like, stop talking about life group. I'm not going. Not going. Well, then you'll be living with a lot of issues for a long time. Because what if in first life group meeting, in a small group setting, which is like 10 to 12 people, you will get your healing and you'll never be the same. Why would you want to live with all that pain? Why would you want to live when you can just be set free? Amen? Yeah. Amen. If Joseph's family is so dysfunctional, why is God still using them? Why is God still choosing to be with them? How could a holy God use a family like that? Well, should he use your family? Should he use my family? We're all messed up. I'm glad the Bible doesn't write about my family. For millions and billions of people in the world to read, so I'm fine. I'll read Jacob's family and Joseph's family. Well, can we read a little bit from the Bible? Because we didn't do any Bible reading yet. I've been so excited talking to you about messes of others. Let's open Genesis 37, verses 2, and let's read. We won't read a lot, but let's just read this. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. So his brothers were messed up, and Joseph's still too young to know how messed up. But when he went shepherding with them and they would go away long distances, he would find out who his real brothers are. You know, at church we act all nice, and then I see you at work, or you see me at work, and you're like, he's not what he looks like in church. Duh! We all put masks on in church, people. Isn't that what you're supposed to do in church? Put your mask on, act all holy. Joseph found out who his brothers were, and he reported it to his father. Verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. Another translation says a robe of many colors. That's why we have letters of many colors, because Joseph's robe was of many colors. But his brothers, verse 4, hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Then later, we're going to study that next week, Joseph had a dream. And he shared it with the family. And they hated him even more. And later, when They threw him in a pit, actually, and sold him into slavery. And we're going to talk about that in the next week. But today, I just want to tell you what kind of dynamic was in Joseph's family. But let's just keep going. How can God still use this family? And here's my answer. Because of the covenant God made with their great-grandfather, Abraham. Did you know that God is a God of covenant? Before Abraham, their great-grandfather, was good, Abraham was also a liar. Did you know that? Bible shows everybody weaknesses, not just their strength. There's a lot of good things about Abraham. He believed God. He was a man of faith. But he was not perfect. And here's what God did. In Genesis 12:3, for your life group discussion, it says, God appears to Abraham and says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So God makes a covenant. What is a covenant? It's an old word. It's contract, but a lot more. It's a contract. It's a lot more. Here's what a covenant says. And we are the people of covenant. Covenant says, your friends will be my friends. And your enemies will be my enemies. Okay? So I am for you no matter what. Ever had a friend who was for you, around you? But when your enemy came, they became friends with your enemy. And you're like, why are you friends with my enemy? That's not how God is. God says, I'm going to be friends with your friends. And I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to bless you. And this promise is not just for Abraham, but for all future generations. Listen to another one, Genesis 15, 18. Let's put that up. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants. Which land? The land where Israel is now. All the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. So Israel right now has not inherited the whole land yet. They still need room to expand. Why is there so much war in Israel right now? Because the devil doesn't want the children of God to have Israel, the land of Israel. You know, the devil wants to take everything God has given you. But God said, my covenant with Abraham and his seed and his children is forever. Yes, if they mess up, I'll discipline them, God says. But I will never take away. My covenant will I never break. Do you know that today you are a part and I am a part of that covenant? When I believed in Jesus, I became a part of Israel. You became a part of Israel. You are a new Jerusalem. The Church of Jesus Christ is the part of that inheritance now. So when God says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, that's about you. That's why I can't talk bad about you. You can't talk bad about me. Because when I bless you, God blesses me. When I curse you, God curses me. Oh, I don't want that. You want God to curse you? No, I don't want that. Wow. So God is a God of unbreakable covenant. When he promised something to Abraham, yes, his children were messy. But God says, I'm going to work with them. I'm going to work with them and I'm going to change them. But I'm not going to take away my promise from them. Aren't you glad? Here's what it says to you. You might mess up as a Christian. You might sin. And we do. You might do something you never thought you could. Because sinners sin. But here's the comforting promise of God. That his blood of covenant will never be taken away. Here's the good news, and I'm resting in that. And you should rest if you're a believer in that, that God will not take away himself from you, his spirit from you. Now, he might discipline you. He might do things to bring you back. But he will never take away his. And there's a verse. I'm going to find it for the second service. Oh, there's a verse in Psalm that says exactly what I'm saying. Amen. All right, what is God trying to show us through this family? Let me give you four quick things. Number one, most families are dysfunctional. Deal with it. Yours is too. We have skeletons in our closets. Humanity is sinful, and that's the reason why we're messy. Imagine this. Put a selfish, proud sinners in one home, sharing possessions and most intimate aspects of life. And what do you get? We have different personalities. We have different interests. What do you get? We have a desperate need for control and power, right? We want to be favorites in our family, right? We want to be the favorite in our family. We want to, what do you get when you put people? And you know what? You're not truly who you present yourself on Sunday. That's not who you are. You're not who you are, what you present yourself even in school or work. You know who you truly are? Behind closed doors with your family. Come on, somebody. I'm not. This is not who I truly am. This is not who you truly are. Nice, smelling nice. Nice makeup. Beautiful hair. You don't even cuss in church. Rarely do I have somebody say, F yes, pastor. No. Rarely. But your home? Oh. So home is where you truly are. How would you know who you truly are unless God puts you in an institution called a family and exposed you to where now you say, God, number two, I need you. In my family is where I get aware of my sin and my impatience and my grouchiness and my bad words and my bad thoughts out loud. In our family, we realize our sinfulness. In our families, we realize our helplessness to save ourselves. In our families, we realize we need the gospel. We need this plan of God to save us. In our families, we realize, oh, how messed up we are and how dysfunctional we are. Am I talking to somebody here? Say amen. Am I talking to somebody? In our families, we realize that we need to love more. In our family, and that's where God puts us. And that's where God put Joseph, a proud, arrogant teenager who was loved by his daddy, who was given special treatment. And that's where God puts us. Number three, God was at work, not just in Joseph, the goody-goody two-shoe. Is that how you say it? Yeah. Not just in him, where everything was handed to him on a platter. His father wouldn't even let him a lot of times go shepherding. At 17, he was the first time he went and saw his brothers for real, who they really were, at work. And he went and, Daddy, Daddy, you know what they're doing? They're not what they are in our church home church. They're all nice and quiet and respectful, not there. God put him in a family. And God was working on Joseph. God was working on his brothers. And God was working on all of them. And you'll see that the story of Joseph is really not about Joseph. It's about the family of God. The story of Joseph, as much as we like this, him going from pit to penthouse, is really not about Joseph. It's about families on earth. And you're going to see this so beautifully. So don't miss it. Don't miss life groups. Don't miss church for the next 7 weeks. If you do, watch online, please. Or just make sure you watch it again. And number four. Mess is required for us to admit our need for Christ. Mess is required. I can't change my brothers. God only can. I can't change my mom and dad. Maybe they never told you they loved you. You can't change that. God is required. But God is doing something in your life through your family. If your family is not the embodiment of harmony, fear not. God specializes in redeeming our mess. Some of you, you know, we have two families. As a Christian, you have two families. Just in case one is too good or too bad. Then you have another one. And as a Christian, we have two families. God double layered it. You know that church is a family, spiritual family. And you have your natural blood family, right? Here's the thing. If you had a bad family, blood family, well, God says, well, maybe my family, spiritual family, won't be as bad. Okay? Or maybe you had a good family. God says, here's my church, and they're messed up. See, a lot of us grew up with an idea somewhere that families are supposed to be perfect. And a lot of you come to church and you meet the family. This is a family of God right here, right? We are a part of that covenant, right? We're on the tree, branch on that tree. And you think the church is supposed to be perfect. Who told you that? Look at the Bible. God purposely allowed your family and even your church family to be imperfect so He can reveal things about you and about your neighbor. So you can see it, work on it, and so He can change you and transform you. I won't go to a life group because they will find out who I am. I don't know the Bible. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray much. I just come to church on Sunday because pastor's funny. I've heard that. But if he really knew who I am, I know who I am and who my family is. That's enough. I'm not going to judge you because I got my own issues. We got our own family issue. I don't have time to look at you. I'm working on myself. So don't be ashamed. Accept that's who we are. We're messy. And God is working. Now, God doesn't want to leave us messy. He's working on us. And the work that He began in us, He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Meaning, He's always going to be working and improving something in your life and in my life. So just surrender to His will. Join the family. Don't be alienated. We live in an alienating culture. Don't be alienated. Join a family. Build some friendships. It's not good for a man to be alone. You need a family. You need your blood family. And if you got that, if that's messed up, you have another family called the family of Jesus. That's His church. And yes, we're messed up. Yes, we do stupid things. And yes, we got people who... And the pastor is messed up too. He's been in jail. Okay? When I was younger, before I was a pastor, so don't judge me right now. But we're all messy. Allow God to do something with that mess. God can take the mess, put it into a clay, and build something beautiful out of you so He can use you as a vessel. Hallelujah. Are you feeling encouraged today? You feeling encouraged today? Do you feel loved by God more, just a little more today? That if He could love Joseph's family, man, He must be in love, crazy in love with mine. We're not that bad. Never stop praying for your family. Never stop teaching your children, training. Not teaching, because we're good at lecturing your children. Training like a coach. Hey, son, you're not doing it right. You know, do it this way. Okay? Never stop training your family. That's part of the family. Make sure the Word of God is spoken and read and prayer is said in your family. Make sure you do all these things. But just know that God is working. And the work that He begun, He will finish it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let me ask you a question. Bow your head and close your eyes.